Part 8, Course Projects.
Other changes to lesson plans or whatever is my students have to do projects. Some of them are minor, some of them are major. So I would have to, when the second year I had the blind student, I had to make the, he had to do everything. So how do I make the adjustments? So I would make the it actually easier, make it very easy for him, figuring, okay, he can get it done, whatever. Well, the blind itinerant would come to me and go, oh no, he's gonna do the same thing. And I said, well, he can't quite do the same thing. So we would work it out together then about what he could do. But then that made me think about how I could change the problem for the other students, either to make it easier for them or harder for them. And what if he could do this, then they should be able to do more. So I was learning that way too. Actually, when we did, in my geometry class, there I have a final project. And I just wasn't gonna have John do it. I'm just like, well, you know, he can't do it, because what were they supposed to do? They were given a list of 30 geometric things, hexagon, octagon, prism, cylinder, whatever, and they had to go out and take pictures, cut out pictures of the magazine, videotape, whatever. You put a project for me together. Some kids actually did some great videotapes, came up with a story, they were treasure hunting. Oh, along the way they came across this octagon or the hexagon, or here's the building that's a prism, and they actually went downtown in our town, they went to the merchants and asked, could we come in your store, like the grocery store and stuff, could we? And they would find a cylinder and the salt or whatever. And they would make some great stories. I'm thinking, well, he can't ever do that. And how is he going to cut out pictures out of a paper? So I said, okay, he's not going to do it. Well, the blind itinerant got a hold of that and come up here. And she goes, well, you better figure out how we're going to alter this. And I'm like, man, okay. So I sat down and thought a little bit. And I said, you know, I don't know. He can go to the internet and he could just type it in. She goes, well, what the good does that do? He can't see it, you know? And I said, but he has to be able to know, like one of them was the Pentagon. So obviously you can type in Pentagon and you'll get the Pentagon. But other than that, what's he's gonna do? So she came up with a great solution, and then I worked out a little bit with him. But he had to like parallel lines. And we have our hallways lettered here, A, B, C, D. So he had to say, take his skills from his cooking class, his mobility class and so on, and put them into the geometry class and say parallel lines, they're represented by the A hallway and the C hallway. Perpendicular lines, the A hallway. Now I would have never thought of that, so she helped me incorporate other areas that would be applicable to him and make sense to him. So that helped me change my project a little bit and not just go give me pictures, but we're in this building. Okay, do you see things and things like that? And so when we talk about parallel lines, okay, which hallways are parallel before we ever go to that point? And now they can tell me, which I probably would have never done before, but that helped me. And then reading through his, so he typed the paper out, he didn't cut out any pictures, but she made it so he had to have all the figures and how he would use it, like a stop sign would be his octagon or whatever, and since he had to take driver's ed, he kind of knew that one. But some other ideas, he had to explain to me what, like his glass that he drinks out of is a cylinder and things like that. So things that I would have never thought about, but now after reading that, I'm thinking, hey, you can bring those into class. When we talk about cylinders, I can bring that in. I'm talking about parallel lines, I now could do that. So we altered something, but that also helped me change my plans as to how to present things. So there was a learning experience on both parts there. Granted, you had to have communication again with the blind itinerant, because I was just going to say, yeah, he's not doing that project. That's one less I have to grade. So it was really a benefit to both of us. But there's some things that you do, just even kids in class, different ways they function too. You have to be within the vicinity of moving to him. Well, a lot of times you're just up here. Well, now you're moving out there. They don't like that, but now you have their attention too. So you have to strategically place him so you have everybody involved. Now, we did keep him by the door all the time because it was easy for him with 32 kids in the class. It was too difficult to move somewhere else. So, but I was always walking back and forth just to walk over, see what he's got on his desk, see if the aide needed some help or whatever. So you get the other kids' attention too, and you know, and they start paying more attention, or they know what to say to him too. Like a couple times to say, okay, do you want to work by yourself? Do you want to work with the aide? Oh no, and the kid goes, no, I'll help him, I'll help him. So they now could relate too. They knew, began to see what needs he had, or that was helping them because that meant that they knew it, so they could teach it to him or try to answer his questions. So he even got to the point where we could do partner quizzes and things like that, which I would have never expected him to do beforehand, but I had to have a willing person to do that, and they got confident in it. So and once you showed confidence or whatever and say, hey, that's a great idea, you know, and sometimes they'll throw you a curve or something. The story I had in class was, it was geometry, and we threw a triangle. We had drew in the altitude, median, used different colors, and we were talking about that. And then later on I said, so which one is the whatever? And he's got his hand up. I'm like, how does he know the answer? He can't possibly know the answer. The answer's in a color. So the other kid, so I'm like, okay, John, you know it all. What's the answer? He goes, it's pink. And I'm looking like, how does he know it's pink? And the whole class is laughing. I go, you're lying to me. You really can see after all. So that helped lighten the class up. I said, you've been lying this whole time? And he goes, he didn't say know what to say right then and there. I go, but not. Forget what I said. Why is it, how do you know it's pink? He goes, well, about 5 minutes ago, you said what the colors were. I'm just guessing. So sometimes he would do that, or sometimes he actually kind of knew what, I mean, he was excellent when he could multiply numbers together. And you're like, well, what's the answer? And he had his hand up before you were even asking the question, and he had already done it. So you're afraid to ask him sometimes. You're like, these are going to be wrong answers, and then he was getting them right. So he can surprise you. So you had to have confidence after a while that, yeah, he can answer it. The other problem I did have, though, is every time he knew the answer, oh, you know, and he didn't know, he's waving his hand that high, or he's basically out of his seat, you know, and they're all looking at him like, okay. I'm like, you don't have to get so excited, John. It's only math class. And I don't think he still caught on. But he'd get mad when you didn't call on him. Well, sometimes there was nobody else in class that had their hand up, and I would just keep waiting for another hand to go up. And they're like, call on him, call on him. Well, I'm just still waiting for another hand to go up. Well, he didn't know the difference, so it was okay. But and then sometimes he would want to answer every single question, and he would get frustrated. So you have to watch, too, that you don't give him over attention and ignore everybody else. And sometimes you have to make them wait to let the other kids interact too. So they'll get dependent on him and just let him answer all the questions, because they're thinking, his hand's up, why should I put my hand up? She'll just keep calling on him. So I learned too that, and at first I was like, John's got the answer. I'm taking it, because you know, this is great. And then after a while I'm thinking, I keep asking John for the answer. I've got to spread it around. So you got to watch what you're doing with the other kids too, that you're keeping everybody involved, giving everybody a chance. And so he's standing upside outside his seat, raising his hand, just let him keep doing it for a while, you know. But it was kind of funny, you know, to share things like that. I mean, he was just, he gets so excited about it, and you're like, well, that's great, but you know, somebody else's turn or something. Or when we go over homework, a lot of times I'll just go around the room and ask for the answers. Well, on his Braille light, it's really hard for him sometimes to locate the answer right away. So I go, John, number 15, and he goes, oh, just come back to me. So we would actually go on, and then we come back. He goes, I got it now. Even though somebody else is talking, I got it now. You know, John, you got to wait. So he had to learn to be patient too, but he was excited that he got it. So there's some things that you can learn that way. So a lot of, you do change a lot. You have to adapt. You do change your lesson plans. You do change, you know, start thinking, how else can I present this? And then it works for all the other kids too. In some ways, that some things that I did last year with him, I'm now doing this year, finding it easier that maybe they understood it. You thought all those years you were doing it the right way. Now you're finding out some other things. So it did help me a lot too, and it helped the other kids, I think, too.